GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another episode of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to St. Eligius Hospital with the cast of the highly acclaimed series, St. Elsewhere. So without further ado, let's shake the snow globe and see who we find. Our first guest is an actor and proponent of environmentalism whose body of work includes Young Sheldon, 6 Feet Under, and Arrested Development, and much, much more. Today he joins us to discuss the role of the porcine, Dr. Victor Ehrlich. Please welcome Ed Begley Jr.
How are we doing today?
Oh, I am well. How are you doing in your corner of the world, boss?
I'm in Studio City, California. It's a beautiful day. I'll just quickly turn my computer so you can see what I get to look at. I've got a lovely oak tree out there and the squirrels abound. I've got a family of squirrels in that tree and the one in back, and it's a lovely day in the San Fernando Valley. Thank you.
Oh, very nice. No, thank you for joining us here today, Ed. I am, again, I'm a big fan of your body of work. You have been in so many things that have touched on me, everything from Battlestar Galactica to Spinal Tap to the Appletons to Eating Raoul. And I would love to talk to you someday about all those. We're here to talk today, though, about St. Eligius and all the stuff that went on there today. So let's bring on our next guest. And she is an actress whose credits include Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Son-in-Law, and Age of the Living Dead. Today, she joins us to discuss the role of the former nurse turned resident, Dr. Carol Novino. Please welcome Sydney Pickett.
Hello.
Hello.
Can I show you my environment? I'm in the snow of Colorado.
Very nice. Very nice. Being a Floridian, snow is a fairly foreign concept to me, but I've seen it on television. Sydney, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you.
Oh,
I got in an hour early because I didn't know it was Pacific Coast time. And so I got to have my cereal and now I'm here. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really grateful to see my old friends and catch up.
Oh, absolutely. Pleasure is all mine. I was going to say as well, you've done some great work. And at the risk of sounding extremely geeky and absurd, I will always have a soft spot for the Ivory Ape.
Oh, wow. Do you really saw that?
I saw it. Yes, I did.
With Jack Palance, the great
Jack Palance. Yeah, with Jack Palance, everything else. It was produced by Rankin Bass. I was a big fan of all their live action work at the time. And it was a wonderful little TV movie that's I think is undervalued.
Oh, wow. Thank you. It was fun, too. I got to play Jane Goodall.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's fine. Well, Sydney, so glad to have you here in good health and in good spirit. Let's bring on our next guest. First, she is an Emmy Award-winning actress whose works include Little House on the Prairie, Twins, and Home Improvement. Today, she joins us to discuss the role of Ellen Craig. Please welcome back Bonnie Bartlett. And he is an Emmy Award-winning actor whose work includes Knight Rider, 1776, and of course, Boy Meets World. Today, he joins us to discuss the role of autocratic heart surgeon, Dr. Mark Craig. Please welcome back William Daniels.
Hi.
Hey.
Good to see you all.
Oh, great to see you. William, Bonnie, how have you both been?
We're good. We're still trucking along. Still trucking along. Somebody referred to me the other day as elderly. That was the first time. You know, old you think, but they said, my elderly friend. And I, oh, my God. I never heard that before.
Why not say mature? Why do you have to say elderly? Why they should have said mature?
Yes, he said elderly. And I didn't like that.
My wise friend.
Bill, of course, is always young. Yeah. He doesn't get old. He just stays the same.
Oh, Bonnie William, so glad to have you back here. And Ed and Sydney, welcome to the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team is going through our chat room right now, pulling out the questions for you. And we know France is running a little bit late, so she'll hopefully be able to join us in a bit. I would like to first of all, I just want to throw this out there. And I just want to say, Elsewhere was, I think, the first drama that I watched with my parents. And I was just at an age, I was getting a little older, and I really began to appreciate that style of programming. And it was important to me, it was important to my family, and I know it was important to so many other people. And in television history in general, it really helped move the needle, really began to open it up, and the diversity of the scripts, the themes, attacking a lot of stuff at the time, which had been more or less kind of left unspoken. And so I thank you all for your talents. I thank you all for your professionalism. I thank you all for the performances that you brought to your roles.
You're welcome.
We're happy to be there. Believe me. Very happy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's start off with this. Just for each of you, how did you come into the roles?
Who do you want to start with, Patty?
I'll start with you, Ed.
I'll happily tell my brief story. I went in and auditioned for the role of Dr. Peter White. That's the role they saw me for and the role I wanted. It was a regular. I did not get that role. I thought I read very well, but they didn't see me in the part. They gave it to an actor unknown to me at the time, Terrence Knox. But then they called and said, there's another role, very small, called Dr. Victor Ehrlich. He only has 2 lines in the pilot, but we're thinking of merging it with another character called Stanton. How many lines does he have? I said. They said 1. And the problem is Stanton is talking to Ehrlich with one of the lines. So you'd be talking to yourself. I went, I don't care. I'll do it. You know, if they want me to be in the script, William Daniels is in it, for God's sake, Ed Flanders, these great people. And I was a big fan of Bill's, of course. I'd seen him in Parallax View. I'd seen him in 2 for the Road and all this stuff. I'm a huge fan of Bill. So the opportunity to work with him and Bonnie, a great actress, I was just over the moon. So I got that part. And then lo and behold, again, I credit Bill. They had this Mutt and Jeff thing they started to write, you know, with me, you know, this big, tall, goofy guy from California. And I went in, you know, to do that. And I wound up working for the whole season, you know, every season. I was a regular on the show. And after the 3rd year, Terrence Knox's character, Peter White, gets shot and he's gone. So what I wished for wasn't near as good as what I got.
Great. That's true.
So William, how did it begin for you?
How did I get the part?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
They called them up and begged them. I can answer that. They called them up and begged them to look at the script. I happen to know.
Sure.
Oh, I'll tell you that. True. He sent me 5 scripts. And I said, this guy, Craig, is only in 1 or 2 of these, a couple of lines. And he said, well, when they see what you do, they'll write you in. And actually, that's what happened.
And, you know, I knew friends. I had friends who read for the part of Dr. Craig, and it was very different. He was an Italian, and he was from a street, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not sure how. I think it was Lou Antonio, but I'm not sure how they zipped to Bill, which is a very different character than the original was written.
Oh, wow.
And then I had read the scripts before Bill did, because I had read for Christina's part, the top nurse, you know, and I had read for that. And they said to me, look, we're going to read you, but it's already cast. It's a friend of Bruce's and she's already cast. And so they read me and I went away. And then after Bill worked on it a while, or I'm not sure when, but anyway, the casting person called, there's a part of his wife. Would you want to do it? And I said, well, you know, what is it? And I looked at the script, no lines. I don't think I had any line. I just sat there and smoked a cigarette. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Or no, I can't do that. And she said, what else are you doing that's so important? I said, well, frankly, nothing. But Bill said, Bonnie, do it. It's funny. It's got a lot of laughs. And I said, what? He said, no, it's funny situation. You're smoking. And I'm, you know, I'm a heart doctor and I'm telling everybody that I got you to quit smoking. And then you sneak in a cigarette. So I didn't know how to smoke. So he took me out into the guest house and taught me how to do the package, you know, and do all the, really knew what I was doing. And then they managed to cut away before I would, you know, And it got a couple of laughs. And from there on, they just wrote us in together. And it was wonderful. So he had a home life as well as, and they found so much humor. They were able to, like, Eddie and Bill, that was so funny. And then Bill and me, our home life was wonderful, wonderful humor in a serious show.
Absolutely.
That's what I was thinking about St. Elsewhere. You could laugh and cry in one episode, you know. It was really unusual and brilliant.
It was very special. No other doctor show has had that humor.
No.
No other doctor show has had that humor.
No, no, absolutely not.
Ben Casey and shows like that and Marcus Welby, they'd go, it wasn't like any doctor I had ever seen, a doctor knocking on your door.
Yeah.
You didn't make your appointment last Wednesday. I just wanted to check on you. I drove by your house to see if you're okay. Yeah. That's never happened to me. And lots of other stuff that happened in those hospitals and Marcus Welby and Ben Casey and Dr. Kildare. But this was a real show with real looking doctors and great real dialogue. Can I briefly tell a story about my first meeting with Bruce Paltrow?
Absolutely.
Less than a minute. I go to the wardrobe fitting with a great wardrobe man and costume designer, Bob Moore. And Bob Moore, I have some lab coats to put on and some nondescript clothing to put underneath. I try that on and I see some Hawaiian shirts. I go, who are those for? He says, they're for you. Try one on. I said, why would I wear a Hawaiian shirt in the hospital? He says, well, you're from California. I thought it might be a quirky little thing. We'll try it and see if they like it. So now we go in, he puts on the Hawaiian shirt and a tie, lab coat and the trousers and what have you. And I go in and Mark Tinker says, yeah, that's kind of funny. I like that. And John Macias goes, yeah, I think I like it too. Josh Brand and John Falzio, I'm not so sure. Then Bruce comes in. He looks at me. What is this? We got a doctor. He's a medical student. Now he's also going to clown school. This is a clown college. I don't understand what I'm looking at. And Macias says, no, I like it. And Tinker says, I do too. Why are you? He says, oh, good. Fine, just spit in my face then. My opinion, you can see what I said. Hi, Ed Begley, I'm playing Ehrlich. Yeah, oh, fine, nice to meet you. You can see the way it is around here. They spit in my face if I have an idea. I'll go back to my office. I went, the boss hates me. I'm going to be fired before I even started. But then Bruce became my dear friend and best advocate on the show and elsewhere. And they wrote this great stuff with me and Billy. And here I am this many years later because of those wonderful, talented people.
And you know who else is here? She is an Emmy Award-winning actress, she is an actress. Hold on, sorry, let me get her from it. She's an actress whose roles include South Pacific, Battle of Planet of the Apes, and the original Star Trek. Today, she joins us to discuss the role of Dr. Paulette Kim. Please welcome France Nguyen.
I'm so glad to see you. I have been wanting to see your faces for a long time.
Oh, France, thank you so much for joining us here today at the GalaxyCon virtual stage. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I mean, counting the years and so forth, but otherwise I'm doing okay. Yeah, struggling to kind of keep up with this weird world of computers, not succeeding. I barely can function with a cell phone, but my car is doing fine.
Well, France, thank you so much for joining us here today. We have a question on the table, which was, how did St. Elsewhere begin?
I guess, like everybody else, an interview. I wrote something, which I, of course, I didn't bring and I can't remember. But I actually wrote a love letter to St. Elsewhere when we left. Aww. And who wants getting so emotional? If it's of any interest, I think St. Elsewhere for me as a performer and was the happiest. I just thought the cast was so incredible. Oh God.
It's okay.
I think you were also kind and smart and educated and courteous, helpful, and you were just a miracle for me. I really felt that for the first time in my whole career, I felt like an equal. Wow. And that's very important.
So, and indeed you were. Your character, again, it's just a wonderful arc, the rivalry between you and William's character. And I just love seeing you and John Astin together, because I'm a John Astin fan as well. So
I think it worked out really, really well. And I thought it was funny, really. It was, I remember Bill giving me saying that I was going to turn my kimono or something. You would make my kimono flip. I can't remember your line. but I think one of the, I don't know, it was an ensemble that was not just only at the performance level, but it was on directors and producers and writers who were really smart people. Yes. Very, very smart people.
Very much so.
And as you might know, there's very few of those. And they really liked what they were doing. They really felt what they wrote, and they felt what they directed, and they had passion in them. They were not just doing a job, they had passion. And it was such a marvelous, unrivaled to this day, which of course are over for me, but in my whole career.
I think 13 Emmys, two of which won by William and Bonnie, a Peabody Award, and numerous four.
Four.
That's right. You're right. A Peabody Award and numerous other nominations. The accolades of the show absolutely speak to itself. And again, a testament to the fusion between what happens when you have good writers, producers willing to stand up for the material, and they great actors.
They were fantastic. They knew what they were doing. I mean, I've had a long career, and not many of them know what they were doing. And they were kind of poking and hoping that somehow it would fall into what they needed. But our people were the best.
Absolutely. And it stood the test of time. Cindy, how did this begin for you?
Well, Cynthia Sikes was leaving the show, and I was supposed to not fill her role, but that sort of type, right?
Yeah.
Cynthia Sikes, I heard, left the show. Is that correct, Bill and Bonnie?
Yes, I think she married, she left the show.
I heard she didn't like the way they wanted her role to go. So
she just wanted to do other things.
Yeah, I knew Cynthia. Anyway, so it was just an audition. It was great. They loved me, and I went to work immediately. And they kind of never quite, because I came in 3 years after the show had started. France, when did you come on? Did you come on?
I don't know if I came on to replace someone.
Did you come on the last 3 years? I know that
I would say about three years or 3 years and a half or something like that.
Sounds about right.
It was very new for me because I've never had a place where I could go every day. You know, yeah, it's so special.
You know, every situation was different. Every relationship was different. And we had the wonderful Ed Flanders, who kind of spearheaded or was the heart of the show. And he
was who I came on to have a relationship with.
Yes, that's right. And a really great, great television actor.
A great actor, right.
Bruce had a feel for good people. He brought wonderful people in. And there was a lot of, each relationship was a little bit different in life. On the set, Bill was so funny. And he was always mocking me, or more me, mocking Ed. Tell him what you'd say to people on the set.
I don't know. What did I say? Yeah, can we take 5 minutes while Miss Bartlett learns her lines?
In front of the whole place, you know. I was used to it, so I laughed. But people didn't realize that I was really his wife, and they'd come up to me and they'd say, how do you let him talk to you like that? And I said, most of the time he's right. And but then he would always, he jumped on Eddie, because Eddie never learned his lines. He didn't believe in it at that time. Right, Ed?
That's right.
I would learn them in the makeup chair. Yeah, I'm getting made up next to Bill. I'm learning the lines in the makeup chair before we're about to shoot the scene. Have you cracked the book yet, Begley? Did you crack it at all last night, or are you just looking at it for the first time now? Just let me know so I know what I'm dealing with today.
Yeah.
It's always so funny. But he inspired me to start a little earlier. Maybe before I drove into work, I drove from Ojai. Maybe I'd look at them then after Bill correctly guided me in the right direction.
And Bill let the whole cat and the whole set know that you didn't know them.
No.
Because he would, Bill would get up very early in the morning and go out by the pool and go over the lines. And he worked so hard to get all those, because they were medical. And he worked so hard every day to get those lines down. And so he would come in, and I don't work that way either, Eddie. I kind of learn, you know, I learn it by osmosis. And he hates that. And he hated that about you, that, you know, but he made it, he laughed about it, but he really didn't like that. He didn't approve.
Oh, hey, we are good to go on our audience questions. So let's go ahead and roll our first one. And this is going to come from George, who wants to know, what was everyone's favorite story arc or storyline in the show?
I like the one with, it was the one with James Coco and Doris Roberts, those two homeless people. Remember that wonderful thing? That was a great arc that they had. Doris Roberts and James Coco played some homeless people, came in the ER, and that was a wonderful arc that they had. I like that one.
And they got Emmys for that, too.
Yes, they did.
Well, Ray Charles was my patient.
That's right.
Ray Charles. And if you remember, everyone from the studio came down to watch him. And when we'd have a break, they had brought a piano down, and he would play, just jam in the studio. Do you remember that?
I remember it vividly. We were in a room about as big as this room you see me in right now, and no bigger. That was part of the set. It was that big. And we have Ray Charles playing basically a personal.
He wanted to come on as a homeless person.
Yes.
As a blind homeless, playing the piano,
and we were like, "I'm having a concert of comprised of 20 people viewing it," and we were several among them, watching Ray Charles play the piano. It was extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Wow. That was mine.
How could it not be? Gracious.
Mine too. Now I bumped that up to number one too. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. I actually have a picture, a photograph of Ray in bed, in his hospital bed, and Denzel's down there, and I'm opening Ray Charles's eye to look in with a flashlight, and I thought, I bet no one in the world has had this experience but me. It was very special.
I can imagine.
Everything was very special for me.
Yeah. France, what was your favorite storyline from the show?
Oh, I think it was compassion directed toward me, because they found out that I had never performed in my native language and never worked in France. So they wrote a show for me to speak French through the show. And they had a little Vietnamese lady who would not have anyone else touch, and she only spoke French. So I sat by her bed and told a story in French. And that was very, very important for me.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
I was told, actually, that I'd become a different person. I can't remember who said that. But somebody says, "My God, you sound so different when you speak French." And probably... I become a different person. There is a kind of inhibition of speaking English, of trying so hard to use the words properly, to transmit what I want to say. And I become more frivolous in French, because it just kind of flit around like little birds, you know, my words, and it's familiar, and it's a very different experience for me. And when I was speaking French, I actually noticed, listening to the tape, I actually noticed that the tone of my voice got very much higher and almost childlike, which I have a deeper voice in English.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow, merci, mademoiselle.
I'm sure I am voicing the experience of any immigrant who come to this country. I mean, not maybe in the fact that I am reading words to be interpreted, but just the way you feel, I think there is an inhibit that comes in by trying to to communicate, to come through somehow with those words that are foreign.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Bonnie and Bill, what was your favorite storyline if you had to pick one?
Bill, what was your favorite storyline if you had to pick one?
I don't have one.
You just worked every day. I tell you what I enjoyed the most. As I said, there were different relationships with different people. Now, I was not in the hospital. I was with Bill. So my stuff was with him. But there was, so naturally, you know, and I did work with Ed Flanders a lot. And I have to say that when we had a scene, the three of us together, which was, we had several scenes where we had the three of us together, it was heaven, because here were these two actors, that very unselfish actors. They, neither of them looked for the camera. They never looked for the shots. They never did any of that. It was just, how shall we tell the truth of this scene? How shall we get to the truth of this scene? And that's what we did. We worked on that. That for me, with all my training, and I've had a lot of training, that was heaven, because I could use all the training I had to work with these two gentlemen. And they were both absolutely wonderful to work with. And there were lots of favorite scenes. Obviously, the whole baby, having the grandchildren, the granddaughter, that was a huge thing for me. And I had suggested it. So that was a major thing. When Bill read Green Eggs and Ham, I loved that. And once Norman Lloyd, we haven't mentioned Norman.
But Norman, right.
Had a scene. Yes, he was wonderful. He had a scene with a young man. Talk about the reality of this show. The young man who was upset because he had had, what do you call it, a nocturnal emission? And Norman sat down with the boy and explained to him that it was perfectly normal and that this was part of becoming a man and so on. It was so beautiful, the two of them talking about this thing that, you know, they didn't talk about that sort of thing on television. And no. It was just so real and beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah.
Bill, do you remember our scene where I don't know if it was, you were having a dream that I came in all sexy. I think I had a teddy on and I had like stockings and I sat on your desk and flirted with you. Do you remember that? I have no idea what
that was. You must remember that.
What?
You must remember her coming in and sitting on your desk in a teddy.
It was a dream sequence. You were dreaming. And I came in I was very sexy and I came in and I flirted with you and I sat on your desk. Don't remember that? That's not your favorite scene?
Yes, it was my favorite scene.
I thought so.
I swear by it.
And also we had an affair in the show. That was hard. I didn't like that. And then I had an affair in the show, and
there we have it. I got three storylines that always come to mind. The first one was just a minor subplot, just the turkey cook-off between Ed and Bill. barbecue. Yeah.
The turkey.
Yeah, I cook one. I barbecued mine in an outdoor kind of grill. I'm out there in the snow of November in Boston. And I'm cooking a turkey outside in, you know, a barbecue or something. It was, that was a fun episode, that Thanksgiving episode in that year.
Yeah, and
writers got into your mind, isn't it? It was like they got into your mind and wrote just what you would do.
And I think, if I recall it correctly, I think more of the characters got more of Ed's turkey than they did Bill's.
Yes.
I think it was like a cook-off at the end. It was like, I'll have some of each. Or it's like, I'll have the barbecue.
Right.
And that was the funny one. I was always going to take Bill. You really did an outstanding job in dealing with the death of your character's son. When Scott Pulse had passed away. And that was a really magnificent arc for both of you. And the scene, of course, of the autopsy. I loved the episode when Howie went to the afterworld.
Right. Love that
dream sequence. Yeah. Mark Tinker directed that. They went out to Lake Powell, I think, and shot there in the desolate surroundings there. Lake, it was a beautiful episode, everything about it.
I thought the affectation of him playing God and the line, "I made you in my own image." I think that's my favorite interpretation of a cinematic version of God. I think it's a great affectation.
And Terrence Knox had been murdered already at that point, had been shot at that point. And he was saying elsewhere, rapist. And so he was there in the boat with Howie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And visually, in every way, the acting work, the visual nature of it. It was a wonderful episode, as they all were, directed by Mark. He was a fine, and is a fine director.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. And again, a testament that all this happened in the same show.
Yes.
And Mrs. Huffnagel being eaten up by the bed, the hospital bed, kind of collapses on her.
Oh, God.
A giant clam eating up Mrs. Huffnagel, our kind of nuisance patient, if you will.
Yeah.
And the bed consumes her was a funny, but a big ending to that.
Remember Eric Bonville, who was on the show, and he had this one. I'll never forget it. We had a party at our house, and at one point, Bill went up to bed. And Eric had been sick. And so I said, go on upstairs, you know? And
Eric Lonville.
And so he was playing on the show. He's one of the in the hospital and at a party at our house. And so then all of a sudden, Bill standing at the top of the stairs and calling down, "Ellen, there's a Negro in my pajamas." Well, I was hysterical. I just thought there's a Negro calling. Funny? I mean, we're not allowed to do that now, but that was funny.
Yeah. Eric Lonneville got his first directing job from Bruce Paltrow on St. Elsewhere. He directed many of her episodes after that. He went on to be one of the best working directors in Hollywood. He's directed hundreds of shows after that. He's one of the most sought after directors still. He's a great director. I've worked with him many times. I love that man.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
Absolutely. And let's roll another one. And here's one from David, who wants, this was probably inevitable.
That's a good one.
Yeah. What were everyone's thoughts on the show's conclusion?
Bold.
Yeah. Yeah, way
I
put it.
I thought it was perfect. How? I mean.
I hated it. With a passion.
Yeah, I know. People either loved it or hated it.
I never let Tom Fontana forget how I hated that.
Tom say?
He said
it was not a crowd pleaser out there when it aired, I think. If I'm remembering right, it was not a crowd pleaser among the general public, the viewers of the show. It was a little too wild that it all took place in a snow globe in an autistic child's mind.
I remember Mark, because Mark became a friend. He lived in my neighborhood. And he said, you know, we just couldn't figure out an ending. So that was the only thing they seemed as a whole to come up with was this child's.
And Tom wanted to make sure that they would never come back. Keep writing. He wanted to make sure. He figured that would do it.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Franz, what did you think of the show's conclusion?
I think I said it right at the beginning. I just think that you're talking about the finale of the show.
Yeah, when it was the
globe.
Yeah, what I was surprised and overwhelmed with is that they ask every one of us to write a show as we wanted our character to finish sentence well. And I don't think that has ever happened to anyone else but us. I really don't. But I did write something. It didn't get on, but it made me feel that I was again part of a contribution.
Yeah.
And it gave me an experience that I never could have even dared to do. And I still think it would look very good if it there was no time at the, I think it told whatever they had to do. Mm-hmm. But it was an immensely trusting kind of gesture.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, I think I'm with Ed. It was bold. It was a choice. It kind of reminds me almost a little bit like the ending of The Prisoner, another show I adore, which is like incongruent with the rest of the series. I've learned to appreciate it over the years. Yeah. I appreciate it. It was their ending to write. It may not have been the ending I would have wrote if I was in the situation, and I'll leave it at that.
But did everybody write a script at the end? All of you? No.
Oh no.
No, everyone did.
I wrote it.
That's the first I've heard of that. They never offered me that opportunity to write anything about the no. year at any point.
Really?
Really? Oh. They must have liked you a lot more than they liked me.
Because yours was French.
Yeah.
Yours was in French. You had to write it.
Oh, no, the French one I didn't write.
Oh.
No, the French one I didn't write.
That's amazing. That he let yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah.
With Damsel, with, anyway, it had to do with leaving the hospital and sitting on the stairs. And one of the doctors came by and said, "What are you doing here?" And I just said, "I was just waiting. And I didn't want to go home because my husband had come and left because I was busy sitting all night with the patient. And so he had come all the way from Washington, D.C. to somehow be with me, his wife, doctor. And I was not able to go to the theater or to the concert with him. And he had left. And I spent the whole weekend working at the hospital. And it was an important scene for me. Yeah. And maybe they just want to see what I could do or something, but it didn't go on. But it was a good experience and for me the best.
There you go. And David, there's your answer. Again, the ending of the show is going to be debated probably as long as everyone is going to be talking about it. And there you have it. I think we have time for one more question. Let's see if we can go on a fun one. And this is going to be from Ken. If any of you could be a contestant on a game show, past or present, what would you like to be on?
Jeopardy.
Yeah, I can see. I can totally see on that.
I don't want to be on any.
What was the old one with Dorothy Kilgallen and?
What's my line?
What's my line? I would love to that.
I was on one.
Were you?
In New York. They brought me on, and the question was two for the road. Who I was supposed to be, the English girl who played Bill's wife. And they brought, how did they do that? It was something like, are you something or something like that? But it was, what's my line? I think so.
Yeah, it was a guest your occupation, you know, and Charles Daly, who in my opinion was the greatest host and moderator of all time.
True. He was great. Things were intelligent then. Those game shows were intelligent.
And it was just fun seeing.
Fun.
During COVID, I actually went down the rabbit hole and watched a bunch of the when our mysteries challenges cited, please, you know. So those were a trip. So,
Braun is the actress's name who was in Two for the Road. Eleanor Braun.
Eleanor, yes, that
was
it.
Wonderful. She was in Bedazzled too. Lots of Peter Cook, Dudley Moore movies, Bedazzled.
A very famous lady gets it right off the bat.
Wow. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
I got a couple.
Daddy, do snakes have nipples? Bill's daughter asked. Do snakes have nipples? No, Ruthie Bell, no. And when he drives the car and it knocks the luggage off the top of the car with the low overhead. Daddy, did you do that on purpose? No, Ruthie Bell, I did not. No. It was just one of the great moments in film for me. Bruce, that was just a great movie. And Bill was so incredible in it.
Who?
You.
Oh.
Oh, he was not. Bill's movie. And by the way, they were lovely. Audrey and Albert were lovely people.
So great. The two of them and Bill and Eleanor Braun together. Wow.
Eleanor Braun, right.
Eleanor Braun was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Ken, there you have it. Panelists, it's been an absolute delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
I don't want to go yet.
I know.
I have too many questions and too many things to say. No, this has been great.
He didn't get it.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Yeah.
I remember before the show ended that David Morse and he and I had started having a flirtation, and it was, he's such a wonderful actor, and I had sort of floated through different, not many relationships on the show, but it was really kind of sweet, and it never went anywhere, obviously, because the show ended. And I also remember how the boys, the writers, used to always love to come down when they'd give me, I don't know about everyone else, a really long medical term. Like, I will never forget colodophilithiasis, because I had the hell of a time memorizing it. And I remember watching them all come down and watch me. Was I the only one they did that to?
They wouldn't dare do that to Bill.
I had a few tongue twisters. I had some medical terminology that was...
Oh, they just loved to tease me. They totally wrote me for who I was.
Right, descending coronary sulcus.
They were that. And I didn't like that about them. Bill didn't like that about them. Bill directed one, and he said, I'll never do another one, because he didn't like going into that group. And they would sit there and make fun of all the actors and everything that was going on and putting him down. He said, that's it for me. He didn't like the old boys group. And that's what we're all getting rid of, too, now, right? I'm sorry.
Pretty much.
No. It's a brave new world, indeed.
And you don't treat people like that anymore.
No, absolutely not. Panelists, this has been an absolute delight. Once again, thank you all for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. It's been my absolute honor to serve you today. Thank you to our audience, and thank you for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye, everyone. Take care. And remember, smiles are free. Spend them often.